This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Daily Digest with me, T. Xiao Yik and Sharmila Gunnison. Today we have two stories for you. First up, we're talking about fogging to eliminate Aedes mosquitoes. You know, when the mosquito fogging truck comes around your neighborhood, you know what that means? There have been dengue cases nearby. And there have been doubts, though, about the effectiveness of fogging in killing mosquitoes. But what about its impact on other insect populations? And so this is the question that a recent study in Klang Valley investigated, and we'll be speaking to one of the co-authors of that study.
Yes, and following that, the 13th International Kuala Lumpur Eco Film Festival just kicked off on Monday, and they have more than 50 films that are being screened this week. So we take a look at what is happening as the festival goes digital for the first time and discuss why films are powerful tools to generate conversations on climate injustice. And if you have any thoughts on either one of our stories, you can tweet us at BFM Radio or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
Yes, you know, we are talking about fogging to eliminate Aedes mosquitoes and to control dengue. And, you know, if you live in an urban or a semi-urban area, especially in dengue hotspots, you'll be familiar with this scenario where a truck drives around your neighborhood announcing through its loudspeakers that mosquito fogging is about to commence, you know, and then you quickly go and close your windows and doors. Then the workers will be walking around with their sprayers, fogging everything in sight.
Yes. So this chemical fogging is a vector control method that's used by local health authorities to destroy adult Aedes mosquitoes, which carry the dengue virus, of course. So the female Aedes mosquito becomes infected with the dengue virus after biting and taking blood from someone else who is sick with dengue. And then the mosquito will go on to bite someone and pass on the disease.
Yep. So, fogging itself is where they combine a mixture of insecticide and water, and they use a fogging machine to blast it out in very fine droplets. But there have been questions as to whether fogging is actually an effective way to eliminate Aedes mosquitoes and to therefore control dengue transmission. Because the problem with fogging is that it only kills adult mosquitoes. It doesn't destroy mosquito larvae. So it takes about 7 days for mosquito larvae or pupae to develop into adults. Pupae. Okay. So if you don't destroy breeding sites where the eggs are being laid, then the adult mosquitoes that perhaps flew away while the fogging was being done will very quickly come back to repopulate the same area again.
Yeah. And the World Health Organization does list fogging, or what they call space spraying, as a reactive method of vector control, but it places more emphasis on other methods to prevent the spread of dengue. So namely, that's the prevention of mosquito breeding and personal protection from mosquito bites.
Yeah, and in addition to concerns about whether fogging is actually effective in preventing dengue, conservation experts have also pointed out that fogging in fact kills other insect populations. Now, why is this important, right? I mean, what other insects do we need to think about and what do they have to do with us?
Well, to answer that question, right, let's look at a study conducted last year, and that was just published this month in PeerJ Life and Environment Journal. In this study, researchers from Sunway University and Monash University studied the effects of fogging on mosquitoes as well as other insect populations. And one of the researchers, Associate Professor Gopalasamy Ruben Clements from Sunway University, is with us now to tell us more. Hi, Ruben. Thanks for joining us. To start with, what were you aiming to investigate in the study?
For some time, dengue experts have said that fogging hasn't been really affected killing mosquitoes. But fogging is still conducted, right? And increasingly, we are seeing fogging being conducted nearer to parks and forests in urban areas. So that's worrying to conservation scientists like us, who are actually concerned about the state of biodiversity in urban areas. So together with insect experts from Monash University, we wanted to investigate whether mosquito fogging negatively affected other insects, meaning insects other than mosquitoes. Because we need insect pollinators to continue fertilizing the flowers of our plants. So that's why we wanted to do this study mainly. But the second objective was to also see how fogging affected the behavior of butterflies, which is also a very important insect pollinator in our parks and forests.
And can you walk us through how the study was conducted?
So we carried out the fogging experiment in the Kota Damansara Community Forest over the duration of 5 weeks in 2019, where we chose 10 different trees within the forest to fog. We employ professional foggers to come to the forest with us and to fog each tree for about 10 minutes. And then all the insects that were knocked down by the fogging onto white sheets that were set up below the canopy of the trees were collected. And then we brought back all these knocked down insects to the lab to sort out and identify them according to their respective groups. And we classified them, whether they were dead or alive, based on our observations. So this part of the experiment looked at how mosquito fogging was negatively affecting other non-target insects. The insecticide we used was something called Detrol 2.5-EC, in which the active ingredient is deltamethrin, which is a common insecticide used for mosquito control. And the second aim of the experiment was concerning the pollinators, and we did this by counting the number of butterflies within the vicinity of the study area for 30 minutes before the fogging treatment. And then after, we conducted another 30-minute observation one day after the fogging. And then we just counted to see how many were there. So these were the two methodologies used to address both objectives.
Ruben, I'm curious, why did you choose Kota Damansara Community Forest?
So we wanted to simulate the fogging effect in urban areas as close as possible. So we chose the forest because there were still trees there that had probably a natural insect fauna. So even though we were fogging the trees directly, our sites were all very close to the edges of the forest, meaning they were very close to urban areas that are regularly fogged. And we stuck to the minimum time limit of 10 minutes set by the Ministry of Health in fogging. Of course, the right way to do this experiment was to collect the insects when they were closest to the urban areas that are being fogged. But then that would have been possible for us to control the period of fogging, the chemicals used, the dosage being used, and the timing of fogging. So this was really a compromise of looking at the effect of fogging on other non-mosquito insects.
And what did your results show, you know, in terms of the mosquito population and the population of other insects?
So our results showed that the mosquito fogging does negatively affect other insects. In the experiment, we found that out of about 1,800 invertebrates that were collected, around 72% were actually dead 3 hours after fogging. And we did some statistical models that showed that the probability of the fogging having a negative effect on all the invertebrates was actually 100%, so that was staggering. And all the invertebrates that we were sorted according to 19 different groups, many of them were actually more dead than alive after fogging. Another interesting thing we found out was that the invertebrates that were smaller and had softer body parts tended to be the ones that were more susceptible to fogging. In terms of mosquitoes, we did not get one single mosquito in our results, even though when we were in the field, we were getting bit a lot by mosquitoes while doing the experiment. For the butterflies, we also found a marked reduction in numbers one day after fogging. In fact, we just counted only half of the original count. And we don't know if the butterflies that were exposed to the fogging died or they suffered any other physiological effects, but we suspect that they may be avoiding the recently fogged areas because the insecticide may have left residues on nearby vegetation.
So some local media reports have focused on how this study shows that fogging does not destroy mosquitoes, but you know, you talked about the main objective, which was the impact on other insects. Can you explain now why are these other insects important? What is their role in our environment and what happens if their populations become decimated?
Yeah, so we in Malaysia, we enjoy a lot of local tropical fruits, you know, honey from honeybees, stingless bees, and all the beautiful flowers we see, all thanks to the contributions of insects that serve as pollinators. And also these insects are very important food sources for frogs, lizards, bats, birds, and other insects in the ecosystem. They all share the same living environment as the dengue mosquito and non-dengue mosquitoes. And we actually have a mosquito genus called the elephant mosquito that actually preys on mosquito larvae of harmful Aedes mosquitoes, for example. And these natural predators are helping us to control the mosquito population in nature. And if we accidentally kill these helpful mosquitoes, we're actually limiting our options in the future of finding natural predators for dengue mosquito control. We also found that spiders were badly affected in our study. So these are actually natural predators of mosquitoes. So ultimately, when these insect populations are accidentally killed by fogging, one can imagine a chain reaction effect. And first, other animals depend on insects as food sources will starve. For example, honey production will go down. Fruit trees that used to grow to have fruits now have less pollinators to do the pollination. So eventually, you may have a forest or park that is silent and devoid of its insects and animals. And this happened before, actually documented by a very famous book by Rachel Carlson called Silent Spring, mm-hmm. where it documented the chain reaction of adverse environmental effects caused by the indiscriminate use of pesticides. And that really started a movement that led to the eventual ban of DDT based in the US.
So how would you extrapolate your findings here in the forest to urban areas where fogging is commonly being done? Would you expect to see the same impact on non-target insect populations in our urban areas?
Yeah, great question. So we actually would like to continue more studies to document that. I mean, we only did this in one place in a forest setting, but we expect to see the same results. But again, as I mentioned earlier, we couldn't have the right experimental conditions to examine this objective. Mm-hmm. But we think it will happen, but we still need further research to show this will be observed in other urban areas. Well, we will hope to get funding for this. So if anybody is interested to support such a study, we'd be happy to discuss.
So is there anything that can be done to mitigate the impact of fogging on these other insects?
Well, it's going to be tough to do that. But our results indicate that some insects, for example, the strong flyers are less affected by fogging, maybe because they will fly away to avoid the fogging. But what we are concerned about is actually those that can't fly or are slow flyers. So we hope to better understand their behavior in relation to the effects of fogging chemicals so they can use this information to come up with better strategies to minimize the need to use harmful fogging chemicals. But on generally, we feel it's going to be tough to mitigate the impact of fogging on other non-target insects.
So what does current evidence show us about fogging and mosquitoes? Is it effective in destroying the Aedes mosquitoes?
But right now, from our study, we have no direct evidence that you can do that. But maybe you can say that when we started the experiment, we actually expected mosquitoes to be falling down into the sheets when the fogging was applied. But we didn't see that. So this means that the mosquitoes could be already resistant to the fogging. So that's our guess. And if they had developed resistance, then fogging in the area really doesn't reduce the incidences of dengue. So actually, we still need more research, as you mentioned, in other urban areas, especially in the dengue hotspots, to show whether fogging is really effective.
So lastly, Ruben, how would you like to see local authorities using your findings?
Well, I hope that local authorities would invest more on minimizing the breeding areas of dengue mosquito larvae, because it could be cheaper. You can divert the same manpower you have now instead of handling potentially harmful chemicals to humans to just checking for all these artificial breeding grounds, where people just dump standing water and just minimizing the containers having stagnant water. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, I think it's really, really hard to control the adult mosquito population in urban areas because we just don't know where they are and we don't know whether they have really developed resistance. So using this kill-everything method of fogging could be really wasteful in terms of cost because you have to keep continuously developing more novel synthetic chemicals and use much higher dosages. Because as we show now, fogging clearly does have an adverse effect on other insects that we need to have healthy parks and forests. So hopefully local authorities can invest more in really minimizing the breeding grounds.
Thank you so much, Ruben. That was Associate Professor Gopalasamy Ruben Clemens from Sunway University, and he's one of the co-authors of a study looking at the impact of fogging in tropical cities on mosquitoes and other insects. And, we talk about fogging in relation to killing Aedes mosquitoes to control dengue, and it is important to talk about dengue still, even with the COVID-19 pandemic that we're in. I mean, this year up till October, more than 79,000 people have fallen ill with dengue, and this is actually no small number, especially when we know how we can prevent it.
Right.
So Ruben brought some of those points up already. It's also been said repeatedly before by public health experts, don't rely on fogging alone to solve our dengue problem. It's a lot more effective to prevent Aedes mosquitoes from breeding in our environment. So some tips are like, you know, don't let the containers in your compound, in your garden or porch collect stagnant water. And sometimes you don't realize what could be used as breeding containers. So do sort of poke around in every corner of your compound and as well as your surrounding areas. And don't let rubbish pile up, because water can collect in piles of waste as well.
Yep. And, you know, just like we wear masks to protect ourselves from COVID-19, now it's become such a norm.
Yes, right.
You can also protect yourself from mosquito bites. So, for instance, you can install window screens and nettings in your home if you can do that. You can use mosquito repellents both indoors and outdoors throughout the day. And health experts also advise to wear clothing that covers the skin area as much as possible to prevent mosquitoes from biting. Not always the most practical thing in our weather, but perhaps it might be worth the discomfort.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, wearing a mask all day long isn't
not the most comfortable either.
Yeah. But we have come to accept that we must do it, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think, and we've all known somebody who's had dengue before, and it's a terrible disease to have.
I've actually heard of a number of people I know who, even during this year, as you mentioned, because of COVID, the dengue, the dangers of dengue hasn't been sort of talked about as much. But it is still happening.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, do try to practice some of those tips that Ruben mentioned. We'll take a quick break now. If you have anything like you'd like to share, you can tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. We'll be back after a few messages as well as this song, The Primitives, Stop Killing Me, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.